on 1116 SEN. On the grid with Tony Shebeki for Bendix Brakes, the best known brake pads. Ask your mechanic to fit Bendix Brakes at your next service.
1 hour is our time for On the Grid next week for the remainder of the motor racing season. That'll take us through to around about the end of December, so plenty to talk about over the next couple of months, including some massive supercar races and also finales for F1s and IndyCar and MotoGP. We've got F1s in Spa this weekend. We've got MotoGPs at Silverstone and plenty more to look at as well. IndyCar's also happening around the track. We'll go up to America and talk to Andy Molden about Will Power taking a lockout on the front row for Penske out there at the Gateway IndyCar race. First of all, Formula One's Pete McGinley joins us on the line. Morning, Pete.
Hey, Shebex, how are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Lewis Hamilton, a special tweet from him overnight to Michael Schumacher, saying how humbled he is to be able to equal his record for number of pole positions in F1 and how he prays for him and his family every day of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Humbling, surreal experience is the way he described it. 68 poles for Hamilton. Fantastic result for him and, you know, fantastic for him to equal the poles of his... you know, his mentor as such, a great of the sport, who obviously isn't doing too well still at the moment. So it was nice to see that tweet go out. But yeah, great result for Hamilton, 68 poles. I mean, he's just a phenomenal driver. Schumacher, when you compare the two, took nearly 3 years to take his first pole position in F1, whereas Hamilton only took a few races in his first season. So it's just remarkable that two fantastic drivers now on equal pegging, and surely the 69th pole for Lewis Hamilton will be sometime later this season. So yeah, he'll go past Schumacher, go past his idol.
Yeah, he certainly will. And also a lovely touch this weekend as well with Michael's son driving a Benetton F1 car around Spa to commemorate, I think, Michael's 20 years since his first F1 win or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's great to see. It's fantastic and gives a bit of a glimpse into the future where we could see another Schumacher on an F1 grid, maybe in a Ferrari. Who knows, one day, Shebex.
Well, speaking of Ferrari, they joined the Mercedes on the front row. So Lewis Hamilton taking pole position and Sebastian Vettel, the two combatants in the championship for this year, fighting it out at the front of the grid at Spa.
Yeah, it's a result you sort of expected would happen. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton's won that sort of battle there, but great result from Vettel, because on his first run of Q3 he was languishing in fourth position, but he pulled it out on his second run and he's in second position for tonight's race. So great for him to get ahead of Valtteri Bottas, who is sort of a distant third, I guess, competitor in the championship this year. A great result for him. Of course, he's also re-signed with Ferrari for another 3 years during the week, so he'll be staying put. Kimi Raikkonen will be also staying put. He qualified in fourth, so Ferrari have locked away their drivers for next year. Interesting, keeping Kimi Raikkonen. I thought they might have given him the flick, but who knows? Ferrari have got their drivers set, and yeah, we're set for a good battle between Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel tonight.
I look at it and I believe that Daniel Ricciardo still has 1 year of a contract to run with Red Bull. And
yeah,
I mean, it's the easy option that you just take Kimi for a year and then see what happens at the end of next year as to whether Daniel is ready for the move?
Yeah, correct. So I think they just sort of... look, they're keeping a driver in there, I guess, at the end of the day, who does compliment Sebastian Vettel well, as in doesn't challenge him too much, doesn't make him too angry. He's a good teammate in that respect. And he can still drive an F1 car, but I think all the criticism we give him is just comparing what he used to be when he won the world championship, you know, when he, you know, 10 years ago, what he used to be as a driver. So I think that's where the criticism comes from for Kimi Raikkonen there. Yeah, but look, it looks good serviceable driver, and I think, yeah, it makes sense for him to stay another year around. But, and Ferrari to assess next year what happens with Daniel Ricciardo, whether he is open to that move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think he'll be wanting a better car than he's got at the moment, surely.
No doubt. Well, he was out-qualified by his teammate Max Verstappen. We'll start from P5, Daniel Ricciardo from P6. And I quote a friend of the show, Richard Crowell, who we'll be talking to shortly, who said on Twitter last night, for all those knockers of Daniel Ricciardo being beat by his teammate in qualifying, championship shows that Daniel is thereabouts, but don't see no Max anywhere near it.
No, correct. It's a one-lap performance versus a, what, 60, certainly my lap performance, depending on what the race is.
Correct.
Correct. I mean, and look, first, for Max Verstappen, it is his home race as well, effectively. There's a lot of Dutch fans here. He's Belgian-born, technically, so he's a dual citizen. Let's not talk about that. We've had that in
policy. No, sorry, he won't be a politician.
Recently. No.
I don't think Max Verstappen has what it takes to be a politician anyway.
No, I think he'd be...
he'd be in the Donald Trump mold, wouldn't he?
Yeah, correct. I think he'd be very, very interesting to see. But anyway, you're half a second ahead. Look, it's a one-lap performance. I think you're right. Daniel Ricciardo is a lot better in race conditions. And that Red Bull car is a lot better in race conditions than it is in qualifying. So see what happens tonight. I don't think a podium is sort of outside the realms of possibility for a Red Bull, maybe Daniel Ricciardo.
No, some massive gaps in the timesheets as well, with Lewis Hamilton, as you said, pole, then a quarter of a second to Sebastian Vettel. That's okay, but then it goes a half a second away, Valtteri Bottas from Hamilton, 0.7, 0.8 for Raikkonen and Verstappen, and then Daniel Ricciardo, 1.3 behind Lewis Hamilton. That's a big gap for sixth place to first.
Yeah, look, for the casual observers, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is a lot, 1.3 seconds. I really think it is just down to the fact that Mercedes car is just still phenomenal. Obviously, it's phenomenal in race trim, but it's extra, extra special in qualifying trim, you know. Yeah. When it's time for Q3, you know, they've got their engine modes, their engine mapping just right. They can really just pull out that little bit of extra performance, and I think that's what you're seeing there when you compare the two cars.
Hülkenberg, Perez, Ocon and Palmer making up the top 10. Before I get your tips for tonight, Fernando Alonso, the quote of Formula One ever, I reckon, he gave last night. His quote was, "We would be on pole position and have the fastest car out there if we had more power."
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. The chassis of that car is actually really good, but they're just so far behind on power.
Yeah,
that Honda it's been years now, and it still has not caught up. And I think, look, he's absolutely right. He would definitely be given the Ferraris a bit of a shake up there for sure, and the Mercedes a bit of a shake up there for sure.
At least I know what happened to my engine out of my Civic when I sold it 10 years ago. I think it's in Fernando's car now.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you know where it's ended up. It's been used second hand.
Exactly. Give us a tip.
Look, you'd have to say Lewis Hamilton. I think he's got all the momentum. Vettel, second, but I think expect a tight battle between them. And I'll go Ricciardo for third. Look, I think, give him a bit of time in the race. He could do something.
Sounds great to me. Good on you, Pete. Talk soon.
Thanks, Shebex.
Pete McGinley covering Formula One for us. Richard Crowell joins us on the line. I hope I didn't paraphrase you too much from your Twitter comment.
No, that was perfectly accurate. Meant it too. There was a lot of chatter on the commentary from Sky F1 and a lot of social media commentary about how Max is beating Dan in qualifying, but it's a World Drivers' Championship, not a World Qualifying Championship, so I thought we needed to even the ledger a bit there, mate.
It is funny, though, and I take your point, but we always do say in motor racing that, you know, the first thing you need to do is out-qualify your teammate.
Yeah, you do, and there's no doubt Max has got great one-lap pace, but you can be the fastest qualifier in the world, but if you don't win races by utilising that in a race, whether that's through good management or whether that's through being unlucky with mechanical failures, and Max has had both this year, you've still got to do the job in the race. And at the moment, Ricciardo strikes me as the more mature and more experienced, which he is, racer, and he's doing a better job in the races and getting the points for the team where it counts. Like, he's almost doubled Max's score to the halfway point of the championship. So it'll take a lot this year in the second half of the season for Max to catch him and beat him in the World Championship. So at the end of the year, we all look at the points table to see who finished where, and at the moment, Daniel's way in front.
No doubt about it. Let's remain in Spa and have a look at what's been happening in the Porsche Mobile 1 Supercar, and Matty Campbell, our boy, got himself up to sixth in the opening race. Not a bad effort at all.
Yeah, qualified fourth, a frustrating day. Didn't have a good start and a good first lap and got shuffled down the field, but picked his way through the order, I understand, and was able to salvage some points. So there's another race today, tonight, our time, to tick that box so he can move forward again. So, yeah, it's been a challenging middle part of the season. To be honest, it's probably where most people expected him to fall, but it's just his start to the season was so exceptional. He won a race before most people thought he would. He was on pole before most people thought he would, because he was on pole in the first round. So, yeah, challenging, but these are the things that will make him a stronger and better and more experienced driver over there. And we've got to remember, Porsche Super Cup is extraordinarily competitive. It's hugely close. There's 15 or 16 cars covered by a second in qualifying at Spa and on a long lap. So very, very competitive, and Matt's still in the top half a dozen of those. And he's just got to keep scoring points. He's got a rookie championship to win. He still leads that, even though his rival, Dennis Olsen, won the race. So solid performance, though, and I'm sure he'll battle forward again in race two tonight.
Yeah, he'll start from ninth tonight as that curtain raiser to the Belgium F1 Grand Prix. The eighth race of the season, 11 in total. So there's three to go after this weekend. Campbell sitting fourth in the point standings, which is a great effort.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. If you can finish in the top five or six in your rookie season of Super Cup, you're doing good things.
Yeah.
But I think Matt's impressed all the right people. Everyone understands that it's not just the race results that are the making of this kid. It's everything else around it. And everyone in Australia knows that he's the package. But I think people in Europe are understanding what he can do in and out of the car as well. So it's not just the race results that are guiding his future. It's more than that. It's everything behind the scenes that you and I don't see, but I think he's impressed the right people already this year, so his future is very bright.
A night race for supercars may not be too far away, and it may not be at Sydney Motorsport Park. Singapore Grand Prix. Chat's happening there.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be, I'd pack my bags for that. No problems.
Can we get Carrera Cup on that card as well?
Well, I think Porsche Carrera Cup Asia is already on that program, so maybe we could do another joint round.
Woo-hoo!
That'd be outstanding. Yeah, that'd be really interesting. I mean, that's sort of home turf for supercars being on a straight circuit. So Singapore's got a lot of Gold Coast about it, in that it's quite technical. Couple of really challenging sections, but there's a lot of curves there for our cars to bounce over. So, gee, that'd be an interesting trip, wouldn't it? That'd be really good, and probably, I don't know, when you add up the cost of putting lights at Sydney Motorsport Park to putting them on a plane and sending them to Singapore, there's probably not a huge amount of difference.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, mate, we're going to let you go, but start getting your thinking cap on. We're back to an hour next week, so we'll have a good chat about the upcoming Pirtek Enduro Cup, which starts in 2 weeks' time at Sandown. We'll go through the field and see if we can pick a winner.
Yep, like it. Very quickly, Shebex. Willpower on pole for the IndyCar race starts in about 2 hours from Gateway. It's his 50th career pole. Third of the all-time list in IndyCar's history, which is extraordinary for our boy from Toowoomba.
It certainly is. We're going to talk to Andy Molden over in the States in about 5 minutes' time about that exact thing. But thank you for giving me a beautiful segue.
Lovely. Thanks, mate.
Talk to you soon, pal. Richard Crowell joining us. We'll have a good chat to Richard next week about the Pirtek Endurance Cup. A break. Back with more in just a tick. Braxy talking MotoGP.
On 1116 SEN. On the grid with Tony Shebeki for Bendix Brakes, the best known brake pads. Ask your mechanic to fit Bendix Brakes at your next service.
All right, time to catch up and find out what's happening in the world of MotoGP. We've got a Grand Prix at Silverstone this week. Mark Brax joins us to have a chat about the two-wheel form of our sport. Good morning, Braxy.
G'day, Shebex. How are you?
Very well.
Bright and sunny morning.
Well, not in Melbourne. It's a very wet and cloudy morning down here in Melbourne. You're right. Where are you this weekend?
I'm up at Morgan Park for the fifth round of the YMF Australian Superbike Championships.
Fantastic.
Pretty good up here, yep. Good fields. Lap records being smashed. Much the same as what's been happening in Silverstone for the Grand Prix with Mark Marquez, the first one to go under 2 minutes around that iconic racetrack over there in the Midlands of the UK.
What an amazing effort by him, and he just seems to get stronger and stronger, doesn't he, as the year goes on?
And, well, it is. He's really getting into that pace, and he's got that assassin's look about him at the moment. But, you know, you see him on some of those laps, and he actually crashes three or four times, and he rides it on the knee and just picks it up as if nothing happened, and everybody's sitting there agog and just going, how does he do it?
Yeah, but Braxy, correct me if I'm wrong, that's very much how he was when he won his first year, when he won his first championship.
Yep,
that's the sort of rider he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he just smashes the bike. He doesn't care what it's doing. He just rides it beyond its limit and then keeps on riding it, which defies the laws of physics. We've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah,
but he just keeps on keeping on. But and then saying that, his second fastest by just a pulled length, he could have been on the pole position, the 38-year-old Rossi. He's getting quicker and quicker as he gets older. It's just not meant to happen either.
He's like a good bottle of red wine. And he said that he was actually in trouble during most of qualifying. He was shocked when he got second.
Yeah, he was having set up problems with the bike and was surprised that he wasn't crashing a few times and stuff. So to get the second, and hopefully he's got a bit of race pace and it's not just that one lap, that he can mix it up with Marquez, and beside him we've got Cal Crutchlow, the guy that's really come of age now that he's been signed up with HRC for the next 3 years in place of Jack Miller. That's already working dividends for him as well. He was leading P2 for a while and then P3, and now he's got up under the front row of the grid again in his home Grand Prix.
So not a bad effort. Marquez, Rossi and Crutchlow on the front row. Not a Ducati on that front row, which is unusual this year. They've normally been thereabouts, but they are down a little bit further. Vinales in fourth. Jorge Lorenzo up to fifth, and Andrea Dovizioso in sixth.
Yeah, I think the Ducati's probably just a bit of the steering issues because it hasn't got the high-speed nature of what we're seeing lately with the Ducati's, the way it was able to get around, particularly at the Red Bull Ring in Austria, where they have, you know, just the big straights that you can just use the power. You've got to get around the corners a bit at Silverstone, and not too bad. It's the first time for a while that we've seen Lorenzo so far at the front, but I really think he's starting to come to grips with that, and it won't be too long before he's a regular front runner. He's too good a rider to be wallowing in it, and I think it's about time some people gave him credit for the fact that he's done more on that Ducati than anybody has done in recent times, getting on the bike and struggling. So good on him, and I think it's a great mix for him as well to get up there and show them that he's still capable of it all.
Yeah, very much so. On the third row, Danny Pedrosa, Johan Zarco and Aleix Espargaró. And as we look down the field, Jack Miller will start from P17. It's just been a really tough year for Jack, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I've done it. There's no reason that I can put my finger on it for him. I think maybe he's just buttoned off and he's good day. And now that he's got his future sealed at least for 1 year next year before the silly season really kicks off, that he can get there, and he's maybe concentrated on that. And the fact that he might be getting the bits and pieces now that he signed with another rival manufacturer.
All right, Braxy, mate, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, but we are running out of time, unfortunately, here. We're going to get over to the States. Andy Molden joins us for a chat, of course, with thanks to the Bottoms Up Beer product, which you can find coming in to pubs and places around Australia at the moment. Andy, good morning to you.
Good afternoon here, Tony. Coming to you from St. Louis, a track that's got back on the schedule this year after a long break, and we're at race 15 or 17.
Beautiful stuff, and for Will Power, an amazing effort, takes a pole position and a bit of a record for him as well.
Yeah, sixth pole of the season and his 50th of a career, so a bit of a milestone there, and he was actually the last car to qualify. Every Penske car that qualified went quickest, so combination of the sunset going down and more rubber on the track aided his cause.
She was a top four lockout for Penske on the grid. Power, Newgarden, Castroneves and Pagano. An amazing effort by those four cars.
Yeah, they've obviously unlocked the key to the track with the right balance of aero and mechanical grip. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how what happens in the race tonight, because in the aero kits are different between the Chevys and the Honda. Like the first Honda is Takuma Sato in sixth, a fair bit slower.
The championship is really hotting up, isn't it? And as close as I've seen it for a long time, Newgarden on top with 494, Dixon 476, Helio Castroneves on 472, and then Simon Pagenaud on 468. It is as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, and you've got Will there at 452, 42 points off the leader. If he wins tonight, it's 50 points a win, plus you always get a point for pole and you get a point for most laps led, so fingers crossed he can get it done again tonight.
St. Louis, a pretty famous place, isn't it, to be driving around?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a unique city. It's where the east meets the west, as they say. The Mississippi River, the city's right on the edge there, and they've got a big archway, which is a famous landmark. I actually went up it this morning and had a look over the city. And there's also a Major League Baseball team here, which would definitely interest you.
Yeah, and also a great song there, Show Me the Way to St. Louis as well. Lots of things about St. Louis. Tell us a couple of things about the track itself, though, some points of interest that we should be looking out for if we're going to watch the race today on Fox.
Yeah, it's a relatively flat track down the straights, not much banking of turns. Probably have about 10 degrees banking. Turn one and two, like it's a constant radius turn. It's a lot sharper in a sense, and turns three and four, it's kind of an egg shape. So they'll be going through turns three and four a lot quicker. Currently, like a one-lane groove. They've just resurfaced the track. Hopefully they can get two cars going side by side as the race progresses.
And in the Pro Mazda category, which is a support to the Indy cars, Anthony Martin doing a great job.
Yeah, he was leading the points. That race has literally just finished, and he finished second to his rival. So he's now 2 points behind the leader. Their last race is next weekend in Watkins Glen. They actually have two races to decide the championship.
Hey, Andy, I'm going to give you a little bit of notice. We shoot back to an hour next week, so we'll get plenty more time to have a chat to you. Can we sort of have a look at a bit of the silly season and what may happen for 2018 in IndyCars next week?
Yeah, we sure can.
Because there's plenty of news coming out of there, and I'd like to have a chat a little bit more of an extensive chat on that. Mate, thanks for your time, Andy. Really do appreciate it. We'll catch up next week.
No worries. Thanks, Tony.
Good on you, buddy. Andy Moulden joining us there, our IndyCar reporter. Live at St. Louis. We're going to take the 9 o'clock news. On the other side of that, it's going to be the ultimate wrap. George Zanikian will be joining me here in the studio. Got so much to cover off, and we'll do all that in just two ticks.